Sarah, I started a Substack last spring, just kind of as an experiment, and it turns out I love it. I'm treating it kind of like an old school blog, writing about things that are happening in my life.
Megan, I've loved following your stuff on Substack, and I actually just really like Substack in general.
You know, we've both been a lot less active on Instagram lately, and I'm finding that Substack scratches that itch to connect and create without all the busyness of a typical social media feed. So I would love it if Mom Hour listeners wanted to look me up there. I'm at meganfrancis.substack.com, and that's Megan with two A's, meganfrancis.substack.com.
Hi, I'm Megan.
And I'm Sarah.
We're two moms with eight kids between us, from preschool to teen.
This is the show where we help you feel better about the mom you are and share our own parenting tips and personal stories.
We're not experts. We're parents who've been there.
We're not perfect. We're real. Welcome to the Mom Hour. Hey, everyone, and welcome to episode 154 of the Mom Hour. I'm Sarah Powers, here as always with Megan Francis. Hey, Megan.
Hey, Sarah, how you doing?
I'm good. Are you hungry?
You know what? I actually am a little hungry. I'm feeling a little snacky.
We are going to talk about snacks, and that's a bit difficult if you're starving.
Yeah, it's all right. I'll end the show with a healthy hunger.
So this is part of our new kind of feeding a family series, a very loose series, if you will. But we talked recently about how we feed our families breakfast and lunch. And then today we're going to talk about snacks and sweets, which if you asked my kids what they like to eat, that would pretty much
cover their two favorite categories,
yeah,
right?
Exactly. That's what all kids want at all times, snacks and sweets. So we're just going to kind of go through how we handle these things. You guys know us. We're pretty low key about how we feed our families. This is not going to be like 25 healthy snacks to guarantee your kids get their veggies type of podcast.
Yeah.
We heard from a lot of people after doing the breakfast and lunch one that it was just reassuring to hear that, you know, normal moms serve cereal and pack sandwiches, yep, and the kids will be okay.
Yeah, they will be all right.
I also want to mention that I have my daughter Allegra on with me at the end of the show. It's her 10th birthday this weekend, and she and I chat a little bit about snacks in our house,
very
but also
cute,
the fact that it's her birthday. And so stay on to the end. It's fun for us. Yay, when we get to bring
fun.
Our kids on.
It is.
Megan, the end of the school year and kickoff to summer is a busy time of the year for families, but we can all eat stress-free and hit our wellness goals with ready-to-eat meals from our sponsor, Factor.
Factor's delicious meals are never frozen and can be ready to eat in just 2 minutes. You can pick from a weekly menu of 35 options, including popular choices like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Plus, they have more than 60 add-ons like breakfast, lunch, snacks, and beverages to keep you fueled all day long.
So our team was comparing notes recently on our favorite Factor meals, and Katie loved the herb-crusted chicken with mashed cauliflower and toasted almond green beans. I loved that one too. And get this, so did her little boy, Charlie. She heated it up for lunch one day, and Charlie, who's 3, ate almost all of the green beans. I mean, that's quite an endorsement, right?
I was going to say, what a parenting win. And I get it, Charlie. Those green beans are crazy good. And if you really want to treat yourself, they even have meals with filet mignon, shrimp, truffle butter, broccolini, and asparagus. Listeners, head to factormeals.com/momhour50 and use code MOMHOUR50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's code MOMHOUR50 at factormeals.com/momhour50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active.
Okay, Megan, like many of our listeners, I'm sure, I've been doing some spring cleaning in my closet lately, and it always feels so good to get rid of clothes I'm not wearing, things that don't fit or that aren't my style anymore. But you know what I realized? All of my Vionic shoes are always in the keep pile. They just tick all the boxes. They're cute, comfy, high quality. They last forever. And I love growing my Vionic collection, especially with the latest styles from their Vionic Vitals collection.
The Vionic Vitals collection offers daily wear styles designed for elegance, comfort, and versatility. We both love the Uptown Loafer, which collapses flat, so it's perfect for travel. The Chardonnay Heeled Sandal, which I know you love, Sarah. The Walk 23 Classic Sneaker, which our team member Katie gets compliments on all the time. And the Willa slip-on flat, one of my favorites, which comes in 12 colors for any outfit.
Yeah, I need to get the Willa slip-on flat. That's next on my list. Well, listeners, if you're ready to try the shoes we're always raving about, use code THEMOMHOUR15 at checkout for 15% off your entire order at vionicshoes.com when you log into your account. That's one-time use only. Vionic Shoes, wearable well-being for your feet.
Okay, we're going to talk about snacks.
You know what else happens in summer?
Snacks. Yes. Out of control.
Yeah.
Okay, so I don't usually do this, but I did a little bit of, research or like read a couple articles.
Yeah.
I don't know. Research, you know, the experts.
That thing I've heard of.
We think we're experts. But I do think, and I don't know what you think about this, there's definitely a contingent of experts out there who are saying that kids snacking is a very like American thing that we have built up. There's snacks built into school. There's snacks after sports practice. And that in other countries, little kids, like, you know, 3 and under, eat several times a day. But older kids do not snack. And American kids typically have 4 snacks a day. So I don't know. I'm just starting with the big picture. I'm curious if you have any thoughts on that. I have feelings.
I have mixed feelings as well. Okay, so here's what I will say. I do think that we're a little overly obsessed with the idea that the kids have to have access to food at all times. It is built into the cultural thing. And for older, that's where it gets weird for me when they're older and they don't like, they can't be expected to go 3 hours without having something to eat.
Right.
I've seen moms of kids I thought were kind of on the older side who are still carrying snacks in their purse because at any point, you know, their third grader might want to eat something.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you're dealing with like low blood sugar issues or something like that, that's one thing. But I had a teacher, one of actually Clara's very favorite teachers, and I'm going to gently rib her because she was amazing. Her name's Miss Bora. Uh-huh. But my friends and I called her Two Snack Bora because she wanted the kids to have 2 snacks. And there were days where I'd be like, I can't with the 2 snacks. I don't even know. She taught 1st and 2nd.
Yeah.
When I did bring it up to her one time and she said, you know, I know it seems a little over the top, but like kids expect it. And then when they drag at 10 a.m. and then they drag again at 1 or 1:30 in the afternoon. So I can't blame her for wanting us to supply it. It was just kind of like, oh my goodness, more snacks. So I do think for myself, I was the mom who we talked about this, didn't even like in our last More Than Mom, I didn't even carry a diaper bag. So I didn't have snacks on hand all the time.
Yeah.
And I would sometimes throw like a banana in my purse or a bag of Cheerios or something.
Yeah.
But for the most part, I do feel like we kind of overblow it.
Okay. So I'm going to agree with that too. And I'll just tell you real briefly what kind of the expert argument is that kids are eating less at mealtime because we are providing constant snack. And the nutritional value of the snack is never the same as what they would have eaten at meals. Does that make sense?
Especially if it's an on-the-go snack. Like those are generally convenience foods, right?
Exactly. So it's not like it's just taking 3 square meals and divvying them up into 6, which, you know, according to some nutrition people, like that could be a good thing. But that's not what we're doing with kids because we're giving them filler snacks for the snacks and then they're eating less of what in theory would be more nutritious at mealtime. And so I can see that for sure. And I definitely can see how this is like a sort of an American thing.
You do build those habits and tendencies around it too. Like if you got used to having a snack every hour, then you would start to depend on that snack and you would come to expect it. And your hunger levels will like adjust to that. Have you ever noticed if you start skipping breakfast, say, or eating less, like pushing meal to, dinner time back or something.
Yeah.
For the first couple of days, you're a little uncomfortable, but then pretty soon you adjust. And
absolutely.
I think we don't ever want our kids to be uncomfortable at all, ever.
Yes, that's true.
And that's a very American thing, too.
Yeah. And, you know, I think part of it is well-meaning parents who go through the horrible experience of having an over-hungry 2-year-old, 3-year-old is like, then we're operating out of sort of PTSD from those years. And we, you know, maybe nobody tells us that 5 and 6 and 7-year-olds are fully capable of, you know, going 3 or 4 hours without food. But here, I'm going to then just final thought on this. The other side, the part that I can't get totally behind that is that I personally like to eat several times a day. And I really like teaching my kids to kind of listen to their body and eat when they're hungry. And I feel like sometimes that involves snacking. And I'm just never going to be the mom who serves 3 square meals, you know, packs a full lunch and then limits snacks because I have 3 kids and if they're hungry, I believe them. Now we're going to get into like how we make sure that not all those snacks are garbage food and how to kind of encourage them to make good nutrition choices. But I don't know. I feel like I myself am a snacker. I enjoy snacking, and I'm probably not going to change that. So that's kind of the other side.
Yeah, I get you. And I think when you say that, what stood out at me and struck me was their hunger signals, not the hunger signals we think they should
have. Yeah, and not like the school
schedule. Impose on them.
Yes.
Right. And some of that can't be avoided. I mean, when it's snack time, it's snack time. When the game is over, they hand out the little baggies of Cheez-Its and the Hi-C juice drinks. And yeah. Luckily that doesn't happen every single day,
right?
You know, all year round. So you can kind of work around it. But I don't know, it kind of reminds me of when I had to train myself as a parent out of doing things like we'd be in the car for 15 minutes and one of my kids would say they were thirsty. And then I'd start stressing out about like going to a gas station and getting a bottle of water for them. And then I thought, okay, we're going to be in the car at tops, like an hour, probably more like 15 to 20 minutes. Like they can wait. They can learn to control that. Or next time, grab something from home.
Yeah.
So, you know, they have to learn, but we sometimes have to train ourselves to help them learn.
Yes.
Yeah. So,
and ultimately, that probably leads to them making better food and drink choices anyway, because they have started to listen to their body. So this is, I think it's interesting. It is interesting question. Okay. So now I kind of have some maybe just a little more practical, tactical questions I thought we could answer. So my first one you just kind of alluded to is, do you allow snacks in the car at this stage in your or in the last few years, say, like as your kids have gone past the preschool stage?
Not really. I would say like I will if it's a, no, I just got a new car like a year and a half ago. And that was when I started to really draw the line. Actually, no, I take that back. The time I really drew the line was when I had to get my, I want to say it was even back when I had a minivan. I had to get it detailed because it was so disgusting.
Yeah.
And after that, I said, I will never let my car get that gross again. It was one of those so help me God moments. I'm like raising my hands to the sky. And I will never clean Cheerio crumbs from under the seat again.
This is the last time.
And I mean, it wasn't just that. It was so bad. And because it's a slippery slope, you allow one snack and then next thing you know, there's just wrappers everywhere and crumbs everywhere. So no, for the most part, I don't. There's always an exception, right? Like there's been times we've been on longer road trips and I've let the kids eat in the car and I just make sure when we get there, they clean up and stuff. But I don't like it to be a habit. I don't like this feeling of we have to eat every time we're like, we have to have access to food and drink at all times. It's weird to me. So no,
I totally allow snacks in the car, but
but you have littler kids.
I do have littler kids. I feel like we're not in the car. We are in the car a lot, but it's all short. It's all short times. I feel like it's more laziness on my part. Like we get ready to leave somewhere and then someone tells me they're hungry. So I'm like,
just
okay,
grab just something
in the
on
car.
The way
it's
out.
Just, it hasn't been a hill I have wanted to die on.
Well, and also I know that you're not in the car. Your drives aren't long, but mine are really short, like for the most part. And when it also feels like you're picking your kids up at like really food sensitive times of day.
Yeah. That's
like
true.
They've just put in a long afternoon at preschool or something. And maybe you're going to be in the car for 15 or 20 minutes. That's very different from my like literal 3-minute drive.
Right.
So I can see it, you know, I get it. Yeah.
What about different areas of the house? Like if kids are snacking at home, is there rules about where they can snack? Cause this one, I am a little more strict.
There are rules. Unfortunately, somebody is breaking them and I don't know who it is. So you're not allowed to eat in the living room unless it is a family like movie night, popcorn all together situation.
Yeah, like everyone is doing this
and you
know it.
Absolutely not allowed to take snacks into your room unless it's like a sleepover. And then the rule is everyone's going to clean up the next day.
Okay.
And those rules
are being,
I've found evidence when we moved that those rules have not been honored. And I'm very grumpy about it because there were granola bar wrappers everywhere.
Megan's
kind of like somewhat hidden, like hidden enough that I wouldn't have noticed them just on an average day. But like then when we started moving furniture, they just all just rolled out. Yeah, they appeared. So, I mean, having a rule is one thing, but having kids adhere to the rules, another thing. And I haven't, obviously, I'm falling down on the job there. So,
My kids are, well, they're not quite as independent as yours. I mean, Allegra is, Rita's medium independent. Violet would like to be independent. So I'm still mostly involved when they're getting their snack, even if I'm not physically doing it for them. So I think I'm able to exert probably a little more control.
Yeah.
But they are so bad about just wandering around. And you've been in my house. So, kitchen, and then we have an eat-in kitchen, and then that kind of spills over into the family room. But I do not let them take snacks out of the kitchen, but they just sort of like, they'll be sitting at the kitchen counter and then they'll just get up and kind of wander around. I'm like, sit down. You're either eating or you're going to go do something else. So that's kind of a pet peeve of mine. Like, I feel like that, and that's where I get into mindless snacking. Like, I do feel like sometimes they say they want to snack because what they really want to do is, you know, hang out at the kitchen counter and we're all talking. Right. So that's when I'm like, okay, guys, if you want a snack, it means you're hungry. So then sit here and eat your snack and then go do something else. It's not like we just have this. And I'm pretty firm about, like, we don't just open a bag of pretzels and leave it out on the counter and eat out of it. I am trying to teach them, like, put it in a portion that makes sense in a bowl and then sit at the counter or the table and eat it. But I don't know. They just still feels like they just wander off. So they don't wander very far because I'm usually there. So I don't find stuff in bedrooms, but that definitely is.
But they
not.
Do still kind of wander.
Yeah. It's like they just forget that they forget what they're doing. And then they're just wandering around with this little bowl of peanut butter pretzels. I'm like, what are you doing? Right. Sit down. How hard is it to sit for?
Right. Well, you know, to that point, I have to say one thing that going back to like the American way of eating, which I think we can all agree is disordered for the most part. Americans have a very poor reputation for the way we relate to food. It's just a fact.
Yep.
And one of the things, like, I personally find disturbing about the way Americans eat. And so when I see my kids doing it, I have this weird, like, visceral reaction.
Yeah, I can relate to that too.
It's like walking around with food or like walking around with a soda bottle and I've seen like little kids walking around with like a 20-ounce soda bottle. And I'm like, that's what you just drink that at a party or something, but then you get up and play. You don't walk around, you don't play with your soda in your hand. And I just think that that's that idea that we have to have access to something at all times. I mean, think about when we were growing up, there wasn't like coffee. People didn't take their coffee with them when they went places.
Yeah.
And I don't have like a judgment about that. It's just, I do it. I take my tea places with me, but it's like, we have this nervousness about being away from our substance or our drink or food, where like, whatever it is, we just have this like nervousness about it. And when I see kids, and that's like a huge trigger, and I have to kind of back myself away sometimes and be like, stop freaking out because there's an open bag of chips and kids are digging their hands in it. Is it, am I upset about that because it's gross? To me, that is kind of gross. Yeah. Am I upset about it because I don't want them to polish off a bag of chips in one sitting? Yes, that's also something I don't like. Yeah. Like, I have to almost parse out what bothers me so much about certain food habits before I can like decide why. So one thing I do is I have a lot of little bowls.
Yep, me too.
And I give snacks and a lot, like, and I will stop the kids and be like, okay, if you want that, that's fine, but we're going to pour it into a bowl and you're going to sit and eat it at the counter or at the table. And then as they get older, you do start to lose a little control, but I hope that just me, you know, consistently returning to that's the way we eat.
And
when they were
like,
little, we'll stick with them to some degree.
I hope so too. And that's one where modeling is really so important and also so hard. Cause I sometimes sit there, we tease my mom, I'm calling her out on the podcast, but that she sometimes stands in the pantry and eats crackers out of a box. And I tease her that like when she's 105, that's where we're going to find her. And I kind of do that too sometimes. If it's just a little bit of mindless, I don't have a huge like mindless eating problem, but if I do, it's me just standing there eating a few almonds out of a jar in the pantry. But so I could be better about modeling that, but I'm exactly the same way when it comes to my kids. So, same.
Yeah.
So I was going to see, remembering back to like the toddler days, and it's okay if nothing comes to mind for you, cause it's been longer, but did, any go-to snacks or like, I remember a lot of like special occasion snacks for my kids. So, for us, I can go first if you want, but for us, those would have been any kind of fruit snacks were like amazing.
Cause
I didn't buy fruit snacks as a regular snack. I wasn't opposed to them. I found them kind of expensive. The ones I would have bought that were slightly healthier, like the Annie's Fruit Bunnies, were so expensive.
Right.
And the garbage ones were kind of garbagey. So to my kids,
I mean, they're candy.
Yeah.
The garbage ones are candy. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So to my kids, those would have been like, if I needed a bribe, if we, you know, had to go get shots at the pediatrician, like anything where it was like an incentive snack. So that was a go-to. I did a lot of sticking a banana in my purse, actually. When you mentioned that, I was like, oh yeah, I did that all the time. It's like an insurance policy. Like especially, and you can have a 6-month-old baby can snack on a banana.
Right.
So it sort of serves everybody. And, you know, I remember having those little snack traps, the little plastic things where the kid can reach their fingers in and pull out. And I would do Cheerios in there for really little kids or We never got.
Oh, like the like they have the like the rubbery top.
Yes.
Kind of.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So it doesn't spill. And those were great. Yep. It's a great little contraption. I'm sure some mom invented those. And I'm sure there's just even better versions now. So I do remember having some small portable snacks. Oh, you know, another one that was good was any kind of like a cereal bar, like everything from the Nutri-Grain type bars to, you know, some are even made by baby food companies where it's sort of like some kind of whole grain, soft squishiness around something fruity in the middle.
I just have to say that I stopped buying those for toddlers because I felt like they were consistently the messiest thing.
Yeah, that's true.
Ever. Messed everything up. They messed up high chair trays. They messed up the interiors of cars. The kids like would come out looking like they had just put their face in a jelly jar.
Okay, so, you're right.
I'm not saying like I didn't do it because I totally did, but any kind of bar or like even granola bars, they would start to dissolve in their sweaty, sticky little hands. And then there would just be like anything that had any wetness to it or gumminess, I felt like was just kind of a snack disaster, which isn't to say I didn't indulge in it sometimes with the kids, but I would always be like, why did I do that?
Right.
Now there's just granola, like sticky granola or oats crumbs everywhere and like smeary faces. So for me, I did a lot of plain Cheerios. Yep. Even Honey Nut Cheerios became a problem because they would get sticky.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I have a thing about kids and sticky hands. I don't know. Like,
it's amazing that you had five children.
Don't touch me. Don't touch me.
You're that averse to sticky hands.
Well, here's what I'm saying. Like I dealt with it, but now looking back, I'm cringing thinking about it. I did a lot of cheese cubes.
Oh, that's
And I remember when my budget allowed, I loved the indulgence of just buying them pre-cubed.
Yeah.
Like, it's not that hard to cube your own cheese, but I did a lot of like cheese and a fruit.
Uh-huh.
Or like, you know, so like a sliced up apple and cheese or something like that. So a lot of that, like just plain crackers. I kept it really, really simple.
Yep. No, toddlers. I think we were the same and I wasn't ever on the go so much. A couple other ones that I think make really good once you're beyond choking hazard is grapes is one of my favorite fruits to have out in, like, if you have to take a snack on the go, because for some reason they don't, like, my kids don't complain about them like getting slimy or getting brown or everything else that happens to fruit after like a hot second. So grapes, I feel like, retain their same texture and flavor, even if they've been in your purse for a few hours. And then, of course, they're chokeable. So there's that. And popcorn, same thing. Popcorn is also chokeable, but it's also easy to have like in a Ziploc bag, relatively healthy. And like kids feel like, oh, it's a snack, but it's not. Yeah. I don't know. I guess it's messy, too. There's not a lot of snacks that aren't.
That's very true. Do you remember the puffs were another thing that we like a lot, like any kind of little, you know, grain puff or like a fruity grain puff. Sometimes different companies had them. And another thing, I would just carry an apple sometimes. But do you remember when you had to start the apple?
Yeah. Yeah.
Isn't that like a funny memory that I've completely forgotten about?
And there's a certain age of baby that once you kind of start it, that will keep them busy. It's like part snack and part toy.
And some of them will like go all the way through squirrel.
Yes. And it will keep them busy for like, you know, they have to have some teeth. So like, you know, like a late infant or like early 1 year old and just hand them an apple, supervised, of course. But they usually can't bite off pieces big enough to choke on usually because their mouths
are so little. Like they're just going, nyam, 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 and like gnawing on it. Yeah. And I just remember like, I remember even a 2 year old or a 3 year old bringing me an apple and asking me to get it, like asking me to bite it for them because they just didn't have the jaw strength or like they didn't have good enough teeth or whatever.
And then pretty soon their teeth get wiggly and they still can't do it. Yeah. So it's you got to be like eight to properly eat an apple.
that's true.
So cute. That's a cute memory. Okay. Well, just a couple more quick questions on snacking. I'm very curious how this works in your house because you have giant growing man boys, as I wrote in our outline, and you've had some that have fully converted into men.
Full on men.
So like how involved are you if a kid is just housing the pantry snacks and it's going to be dinner time? And I'm talking about your older kids now. Like one thing to tell a 6 year old that they can't have a snack because it's an hour till dinner. But like how hands on are you about that?
I'm not very hands on because I'm worried about their appetites. Because my giant growing man boys do have appetites. Owen is a little bit different. He's 12, but he's skinny as a rail and he often isn't hungry at dinner and he loves to snack. So that's a little, I keep an eye on him. It's so funny how it's not really about their appetites at dinner. It's more about having respect for me and the meal that I'm putting together.
Yes, I feel the same.
And so please save some room so that I put this effort in for a reason. But the other thing is it's expensive. Like if they fill up on snacks, it's so expensive.
Yeah.
So, my rules aren't really centered around when they eat, but okay. more like if there are certain snacks that are definitely reserved for lunch boxes, you're not allowed to come and just plow through those. If I have a box of crackers, you can go into that box of crackers and portion some out. That's different than if I have already pre-portioned.
Right.
Crackers, just right. as an example.
Yes. Yeah.
Fruit is always fine. No one ever has to. It's kind of funny because Owen will always ask me if he can have an apple. I'm like, dude, you don't have to ask me.
Right.
You can just eat the apple. I don't. Yep. Fruit is always okay. Veg would always be okay. And I don't buy a lot of packaged snack foods just to eat. I always have a specific purpose for them.
Yeah.
So that's kind of where it starts to get tricky because it's more about like not throwing off my plan than it is their nutrition.
Don't mess with
my purchasing. Well, right. Cause like if all the crackers are gone, then what am I going to do in the morning when I'm trying to get everyone out the door for, and they don't have anything to put in their lunches. I mean, there's other things like I might make a big giant bowl of popcorn and that's just free. Like everybody can have popcorn whenever they want. I might have a big thing of almonds or something and the kids can have that whenever they want. So I don't know. It's really more about cost and planning for me than it is about what they
like
eat.
Waiting an hour before. Yeah.
Right.
What about, so I would say we're similar. I don't have like a rule, like you can't eat anything. Sometimes like 4:30 is when some of my kids really do need a snack, especially if they didn't really eat much after school.
Yeah.
And I'm just not going to say no to that kid, but like you, I'm going to sort of steer them either toward fruits or veggies only. If dinner is really soon, then I'll just say fruits or veggies only. Or if dinner is something I know that kid is going to hate, I might sort of
try to fill them up a little bit,
try and fill them up so that when they sit down to dinner and they're not hungry, I can still say, well, this is what's being offered. I don't know. Yeah. I'm like gaming my own system. So we're kind of the same, but after dinner, a couple of times has been a problem. My kids go to bed really early. So I don't feel like they should need a snack before bed because we eat at 6 and they go to bed by 8. But it has a couple of different kids have been like, I'm so hungry at like right before bed. And so for that, it's always a banana is the only option. And they will eat a banana and kind of prove that they were hungry. So that I feel like I'm a little more strict about that than dinner.
Well, and it's hard because if you don't have a super, super regimented dinner time, which we don't, we could eat anywhere between 6 and sometimes as late as 8, depending on if it's summer or like if it's school year or not, what night of the week, if there's something else going on, what I'm making, how well I did at planning ahead, like all those things factor in. And so I feel like I can't be too strict about it. On the other hand, I have a lot of triggers around food, I guess, but one of my food triggers is kids milling around the kitchen after I've already cleaned it up.
Oh yeah.
And like sticking their head in the fridge and taking stuff out. And I will have a mom meltdown about that stuff. So it's more like the kitchen's closed, but now I'll just try to make a point of saying, hey guys, the kitchen's closing. So if you want anything, come get it now.
Right.
Because in 10 minutes, the last dish is going in the dishwasher and the counter's wiped and we're done in here.
Right.
And so, you know, but then again, I have up until a few months ago, I had a 20-year-old man living in my house and he would get up at 2 a.m. and eat. So, you know, it's like, I can't control it too much. Right. I just try not to. I don't know.
I think is fun to hear. Sorry.
That's okay. I was just going to say, I try to keep the triggers out of my face as much as possible.
Well, that makes sense. No, but what I feel like you are showing us in a really good way is like, you definitely have standards and values around how snacking fits into mealtimes. And you're not being overly structured about how you apply the rules, but your kids are definitely like, when they grow up, they are going to have this same conversation and remember very clearly what the snacking standards and rules were.
Yeah.
So I think it's good.
We are welcoming back Ritual as a sponsor today. Megan, we both try to make healthy choices, but you know, sometimes it's tricky to sort through fact and fiction when it comes to supplements and vitamins to figure out just what they're doing for us. That's why I'm glad Ritual keeps studying their products and sharing the results, especially as it relates to women, since women are the focus of all Ritual's products, including the Essential for Women 18 Plus Multivitamin.
And the results are super reassuring. Just as an example, Ritual conducted a university-led clinical trial for their Essential for Women 18 Plus multivitamin, and it was shown to increase vitamin D levels by 43% and omega-3 DHA levels by 41% in just 12 weeks. Ritual's Essential for Women 18 Plus multivitamin is made with high-quality and traceable key nutrients in clean, bioavailable forms with 9 key nutrients in 2 capsules per day. Plus, they are leading the industry when it comes to sustainability. They use lower carbon packaging and prioritize sustainably sourced ingredients. That kind of thoughtfulness really matters to me.
No more shady business. Rituals Essential for Women 18 Plus is a multivitamin you can actually trust. Get 25% off your first month at ritual.com/themomhour. Start Ritual or add the Essential for Women 18 Plus to your subscription today. That's ritual.com/themomhour for 25% off.
Sarah, we're welcoming our sponsor, Element. That's spelled L-M-N-T, a zero sugar electrolyte drink that leans on current science about what our bodies really need in order to deliver the most effective hydration possible. You know, Sarah, Eric is really into keeping up with health research, and he's been insisting to me for years that we actually need more salt to stay hydrated. Turns out Element agrees because they've developed their product based on a growing body of research that shows that for optimal health outcomes, we actually need to be taking in sodium levels at 2 to 3 times government recommendations. That's a big difference.
Yeah, it really is, Megan. And, you know, electrolyte deficiency or imbalances can cause headaches, cramps, fatigue, brain fog, and weakness. I know I can feel really rotten when I'm dehydrated. And also, I don't love the taste of plain water, so I'm not that great about drinking it. Element makes a huge difference in how much I'm enjoying my hydration and in how I feel, and it's super easy to fit it into my daily routine. My favorite flavor of Element is the grapefruit, but if that's not for you, we're going to get you set up with a variety pack so you can find your favorite Element flavor. Plus, Element has a no questions asked refund policy. You don't even have to send the product back to get your refund.
Yeah, you can receive a free Element sample pack containing 1 packet of 8 flavors. So you'll get 8 total packets free with any order when you purchase through our custom URL. That's drinkelement.com/momhour, DRINKLMNT/momhour. This offer is available exclusively through our partnership, and it's available for both new and returning customers. To get that offer, again, go to drinkelement.com/momhour.
Let's do it. All right. Let's talk about dessert.
Okay.
So I have a first fun question. So if I came over to your house right now, well, you just moved, so you probably have nothing for me. But I know you move stuff from your pantry. So if I just came over with a really big sugar, I just needed sugar, what would I find in your house?
I think you'd be out of luck. And I think, honestly, I think you would have been out of luck at the old house too. Oh, you know what? After I moved in, I did buy a bag of like dark chocolate squares, and I think maybe there's one or two left. I didn't eat them because they have espresso in it, and that just seems like a really bad idea.
Yeah.
You'd find a bag of sugar and some chocolate chips. I don't keep sweets on hand. I don't really like sweets that much. I know. You could eat jelly. You could eat a spoonful of jelly. Yeah, actually, I always have hot chocolate. Yeah. So if you really needed it, I could make you some hot chocolate. Yeah. But I'm not somebody who often has I don't have a candy drawer. Just not you might find a Snickers hidden someplace that fell out of someone's Halloween bag.
Yeah.
You'd probably go to the kids. They'd help you out.
They would have their stashes.
So what if it was me? What would I find in your house?
So if you came to me, I usually have baking sweets. So I always have chocolate chips. I usually have marshmallows. If you just wanted a little mini marshmallow. Right now, I know there's some jelly beans left over from Easter. So my kids are they are hoarders when it comes to if they scored some sweets at some point, either a goodie bag or, you know, their Easter basket, they have a very hard time parting with that, even though I'm pretty strict about when they can eat it. So what I end up with is these little bags in my pantry that I know are spoken for. It's I took them to the movies and I let them get Sour Patch Kids, but I didn't let them eat the whole thing because those boxes are humongous. It's
they
like four
humongous,
servings.
Yeah.
So I made them have a more sensible serving, but they don't want to throw away the rest. They just keep it in the pantry and hope I'll say yes. So that is what you'd find. You'd find this
but I wouldn't be able to eat it because it belongs to your kids.
Oh yeah, totally. It belongs to my kids. And eventually they'll forget about it and I'll throw it away.
So we're the same then.
Kinda.
So well, I have some Girl Scout cookies
right now. Yeah. I have some Girl Scout cookies that we bought from a friend. They're not one that I'm super tempted. I think I have more of a sweet tooth than you do, but I'm not a major sweets person.
And every now and then I'll be at the grocery store and I'll think, you know what I really want right now is I want to just bring home a box of Chips Deluxe and I want everyone to eat a sleeve tonight.
Yes.
So it happens, but it's pretty rare. So I gotta, but also things like donuts I'll buy every now and then.
Okay.
So I do buy them every now and then. It's just I usually treat that as we're going to devour it all in one serving.
And so it's not sitting. I actually like that better than my weird bags of jelly beans and stuff in the pantry. I used to keep ice cream in my freezer for me personally. I used to really like a little bit of ice cream in the evenings. And I don't do that anymore, which is probably better for me. But
I don't like ice cream very much. Does that make me weird? It's to me, it's like... Every now and then I really, again, like I'll think, oh, you know, what would be great right now is like a bite of really good creamy ice cream with like a chunk of chocolate or something in it. Like a, you know what I mean? Like a brownie.
I'm kind of snobby about ice cream. I'm not going to just eat ice cream to eat ice cream, but I do love really good ice cream.
But I just, it's not one of those things that it's not a go-to for me at all.
Yeah. Yeah.
And my kids have complained about that before. They're like, how can we never have ice cream in the freezer like other families?
That's funny.
It made me feel really bad.
We don't either. So one thing, when I was thinking about how sweets worked when my kids were little, and that is like, that's like a whole two-part episode in and of itself. So we're not going to probably get to all that. But I always remember thinking it was so funny that your kids would be having this like kind of garbage kids meal somewhere, like, you know, chicken nuggets or pizza or something. And there'd be some kind of lollipop or ice cream bar or something after. And you're like, come on, finish your pizza so you can have your popsicle. Exactly. And then I just would find myself being like, wait, all of this food is trash. And
right. So it's all equally trash.
We might
trash,
as well. Yeah. Just enjoy that this is, it's either a birthday party or we're on vacation or whatever. Just, so I've really tried actually over time not to tie eating dessert to finishing some other meal. And I think, I think that's kind of a better approach. My kids do not, there's no dessert expected anytime in our house. It's not like if, and I have friends who do it differently, like dessert, a little treat, like a little mini chocolate or something is kind of part of the routine in the evening, and finishing your dinner or eating a good dinner is a ticket to that. I don't have any judgment about that. I think that's totally fine. I notice that when my kids have been on vacation where they've been having sugar daily, they get right back into that. What's our treat tonight? What's our treat of the day? Do we have, what do we have? I'm like, we have nothing. You don't just get dessert because you made it to 7 o'clock at night. Like it's not a your fundamental birthright. Human right. No.
Right. Exactly.
So that's kind of how it works in my house now.
Oh, well, I agree. Like if we were having dessert every single day as part of the meal, I think I might just be a little stricter about it. Like, hey, let's at least make an effort to eat the first round or whatever before we get to the sweet. But because we don't, it's a treat when we have dessert.
Yeah.
It also, I don't care. Like, especially because it does seem to usually coincide with some kind of a junky meal in our house. The difference might be if I made something really special, like a pie or something. I mean, like I rarely would do that anyway, but if I made something really special, maybe that would be something that I would kind of want them to eat before they would get. But typically like a dessert in my house might be something like berries and like homemade whipped cream, which I don't care. They could eat that delicious. At the beginning if they wanted to.
Yeah.
Or it's something we make together after dinner, which also makes it easier. You can all make cookies after you finish dinner, and then it doesn't feel like you're being punished. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, I love that. And I'm glad you brought up that they could eat that before, because I gave up on this whole, like, you have to wait till a certain time or after a certain meal to eat dessert. And so I routinely, if there's something in the house that they want, and Girl Scout cookies is a good example. Like, we bought some from a friend. So then they were in the house. So then they wanted to know when they could eat them. And I just kind of wanted to get it over with. So they were the little ones. So I was like, okay, you can have three a day. And you can have them whenever you want. And Violet would come downstairs at 6:15 in the morning and eat three Girl Scout cookies. And then I was done talking about it for the rest of the day.
Yep.
So I'm all about, you know, whatever works. But I think it's so ingrained, again, culturally, like you finish your plate, then you get your dessert. And it just hasn't played out that way for us. But
no, me neither. Yeah.
Do you have memories of eating sweets when you were growing up? Like rules about like how your mom was about it? Or did you have more of a sweet tooth when you were?
I definitely. I mean, when I was a kid, I had a big sweet tooth. And actually, I had a sweet tooth well into my 20s. And it just kind of in the last decade kind of went away. I think I just started getting a taste for like salty, fatty things and bitter things that like, you know, tea and wine and stuff that I didn't have obviously when I was a kid. So just like one set of taste buds swapped out for the other. My mom did not routinely make dessert. Sometimes she would have I remember it like being a big deal if she had a carton of ice cream in the freezer and we would get to indulge. I felt like a big indulgence. I was allowed at a pretty young age to get around on my bike. So if I could scrape up 25 cents, I could go get a little Debbie. Mm-hmm. And I liked the fudge rounds quite a bit and Swiss rolls quite a bit. And so I would, you know, probably once a day go to the, like just hop on my bike and go to the corner store and get myself probably starting at the age of like 9.
Yeah. So yeah, that's when I started stopping at the store on the way home.
Yeah. Then, you know, get myself a little treat. I don't remember I remember like there would be those times of year when I would have access to like lots of sweets, like right after Easter, right after Halloween. Yeah. And I would just, I remember sitting in my bed slowly. So funny. I had a big, huge hollow bunny.
Uh-huh.
And I filled it with water and would drink water out of it and then eat it. and like
weird,
read.
But I can see how it would work.
But it was awesome. It was really convenient. Like the bottom part of its body was filled with, it was covered with foil, so it didn't get, you know, right, gross or anything. And I'm just like sipping
as
my
long
water.
As the water
and
was
then
cold enough that like I would feel like if the water started to get at all like lukewarm,
it would
everything
start to melt it.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. All I know is I did this for a long time. I would sit in bed and read for like a week and a half after Easter. And every day I would just eat a little more and a little more and a little more. That was kind of like, you know, you just binge on the sweets. Yeah. Or sitting and playing solitaire in my room and eating all my Halloween candy for, yeah, like a week and a half. That was like my hobby.
Yeah.
Was eating candy. So yes, I loved candy when I was a kid. And I don't remember my mom having a big, I don't know, she really didn't insert herself into it too much. She wasn't going to provide it.
Yeah, I think.
But she also wasn't too up in my face about it.
I think that's exactly how it was for us. So I remember walking home and stopping at, there were two different little places we could stop on the walk home from school. But getting a plain Hershey bar, not Hershey with almonds, just a plain. And yeah, I loved that. And that was, yeah, third grade on. I remember when I was allowed to stay home alone. So, you know, 10 or so up, I would get chocolate chips from the pantry because we didn't have, yep, candy in the house. We did have ice cream. I do remember having ice cream, but I don't think there might have been rules about that because I remember having ice cream in the evening after dinner. I don't remember raiding the ice cream like after school.
Right.
So there might have been some rules there. But I definitely remember buying a lot of candy. Like as a early teenager, there was a little candy store in my high school, like some kind of fundraiser, like candy table you could just stop by anytime and eating sour straws and M&Ms. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I survived, but I ate a lot of candy.
Yeah, I definitely ate a lot of candy right up to and through high school. Like, so many sweets. So many sweets.
Me too.
And the more freedom you have, the more access you have. And I mean, there's only so much we can do about that.
Right. It just is. Yeah. It's kind of actually, it's a little reassuring, I think, to think like now you and I are, we have very diverse palates. We eat healthy, like, yeah, but I definitely remember eating a lot of candy. Do you have any memories of, this is totally switching gears, but of when your babies were little and like, if you tried to avoid sugar for a long time or like their first taste of sugar? I feel like I have a couple funny memories. I feel like the first kid is always the one where you say like, they're not going to have sugar till they're two or whatever.
Yeah. I think because I was the youngest and was raising Jacob in the throes of my sister raising her third, right?
Yeah.
So Cecily is a year older than Jacob, and that was her third kid. I just kind of was like, oh, this is how it works. Yeah. I don't remember ever laboring under any delusion that he was going to have a sugar-free birthday cake. I knew I wasn't going to make that. Like, it kind of was what it was right from the beginning.
Interrupt though. Do you remember the recipe for the sugar-free birthday cake in What to Expect When You're Expecting? It's probably still in there. Like applesauce.
I think it was called the Best Odds Cake or something. Oh, no. That the What to Expect When You're Expecting had the Best Odds Diet. And I always felt like that was such a terrible name.
That is a terrible
like
name.
The best odds of not totally messing your baby up or
up
possibly
forever.
Dying. I mean, you know what I mean? It was, that freaked me out. Anyway, but yes, they had like that recipe. It might've been the toddler, What to Expect the Toddler Years.
Okay. Well, I just remember
the first year or something.
It was a first birthday recommendation. It had like a kind of a cream cheese frosting, but it was all applesauce for the sugar. And anyway, I totally cut you off, but I was just,
no, it's fine. I remember that and I did not make it. And there were a lot of those going around. I mean, they still have, there's tons of it, like go on Pinterest and look for a sugar-free birthday cake. And I'm not judging anyone who does it. I just did not.
Yeah,
and
I did it.
I knew I
first.
Wasn't going to.
I definitely did it for my first and then quickly abandoned that for the second and third.
Yeah.
I do remember when Allegra had her first lollipop because it was during the H1N1 flu scare. And I was pregnant with my second and she was like a little under a year and a half. And I guess the only point of that, it was like desperate times because I'd never just handed her a sucker. You know, she was one. So she'd never really had, I guess she'd had a little birthday cake, but that was probably the only treat that she'd have. And she had to get two flu shots. We all did. I was pregnant. It was like, it was a pretty big health scare, public health scare at the time. And like they were short on the vaccine. So I had to get on this waiting list and it kind of was a big deal at the time. And so she and I went to this clinic and she had to get not one but two, and she was just old enough where I think all her baby shots were done, but they're old enough to start to like a little bit understand what's going on. So it was super traumatic. And actually it's funny, she's turning 10 but she's still terrified of needles. Like she's really
Claire
bad with
too.
shots. And so that was where it was like, this is an excellent opportunity to introduce you to the wonder of lollipops. Like, and she did, you know, like she got her shot, then she got a lollipop and she was so happy. And then with the second and third kid, I feel like they get one at every doctor. Our pediatrician still gave lollipops. I don't think they do. Ours doesn't now, but all when my kids were really tiny, it was just,
I'm sure my first like giving my baby candy experience probably looked a lot like desperation.
Yes.
Cause again, it's not something I would have intentionally done or like,
right.
Like mindfully set out to do, but it's the kind of thing like fate thrusts upon you, a situation in which candy is really the only out. So yeah, I'm sure I've got a bunch of those. I just don't really remember them.
Yeah, that's really funny. Okay, do we have anything else to say about desserts? Do you have like a fate? I know you're not a big sweets person, but do you have a, like if you were out to any kind of dinner or like could have any kind of sweet treat, anything, what would it be?
Well, that's really hard to say because I do actually like several sweets. So my favorite, I would say, if I was out at a restaurant that had pie, I love a good lemon meringue pie.
Oh, interesting.
Love it, love it, love it. But my absolute favorite is brownies.
Yeah, like I love a good
fudgy brownie.
No nuts though, right? Do you like nuts?
No nuts.
Yeah. I love a
chocolate
good
chips are okay, or like fudge chunks. Yeah. I like that experience. But
same.
Actually, brownie batter is probably the best thing on earth. Oh, I think it's better than brownies.
See, I feel that way about regular cake batter. Like regular cake from a box batter is really good for me. Mm-hmm. And cookie dough.
How about you?
I love, if I'm out to dinner, like something I couldn't really make myself very well, I love a good apple pie, actually. Like apple pie with ice cream is one of my favorites. I am not a lemon person, so I really don't like lemon desserts, lemon pies, or lemon pound cakes. I generally fall in the chocolate caramel.
What about a really good chocolate tort or like a chocolate mousse? Something that's like a little less sweet and a little more, complicated or complex tasting.
I love a mousse consistency. Like I love eating something that feels like fancy pudding.
Right.
There was a mousse parfait on the menu in the hospital where I delivered my babies, which was actually a really nice hospital. And it was there the first two times. And so I looked forward to it as like something I could eat. And I had C-section, so I had to wait like 2 days before eating. And the third time when I went and had Violet, it wasn't on the menu anymore. And I was so sad. It was hospital food, but it was really, really a good chocolate mousse parfait. Like where there's whipped cream and then the mousse layered. That's delicious.
Yeah.
Delicious. Gosh, I don't know if we have anything else. Like, I don't feel like we can probably offer tips on.
We didn't offer a single tip this entire time.
I think we did. We had snack tips. We had,
I guess you're right. You're right.
Yep. Sweets tips are hard because you just have to decide. We'll leave it here. You have to decide what kind of sugar battles are worth fighting. And I think I do. I definitely have some sugar standards, things that I don't buy. You talked about not keeping stuff in your house.
Yeah.
And you just, it's just a process of figuring out like what feels right to you to feel like you can sleep at night, but your kids can also enjoy life and birthday parties and sweets. And one thing I have found is it goes in big swings. We fall way off the sugar wagon and then we course correct and kind of go back the other direction. And then I relax a little. And so,
I think it's just like anything else in parenting, right? You have your values around something and those are yours and they're totally fine and they have nothing to do with anybody else. So it's like the first, you know what I mean? Like they don't have anything to do with what anybody else does. It's you. And then you just kind of have to find a way to like set standards around that while still realizing that life happens. And everything comes back. There's always coming back. Like you can fall off the wagon and get back on.
I agree.
Over and over.
I will say, I think in terms of like food culture in our country, I think we're at a better place with understanding sugar. And I'm sure we have listeners out there who are much more well-read than you and I on kind of the dangers of too much sugar. So I think it's probably a good time to be, I feel like there are snacks and options. I would much rather have like a whole dessert, like a bowl of ice cream or make homemade chocolate chip cookies, then deal with the sugar that's packed into like most packaged snacks, to go back to the snacks discussion. But I feel like as a culture, there's some awareness about that now. And that's a good thing because a lot of the sugar you hear about, we're not talking about occasional desserts. We're talking about the sugar that's put in.
Everything has sugar.
To everything else.
Yes.
So if I were going to get stricter, I might almost err on that side of things than I would about limiting desserts. Does that make
sense? And I will also say, you know, if with my experiment with eating keto, which doesn't really allow for sugar too much, I just got used to reading labels and I was amazed.
Yeah.
Amazed at how much sugar is in
salty
everything.
Things.
Salty things, yes. Because the food scientists that are creating are trying to come up with this perfect salty sweet combo that just keeps you wanting more. It's like your taste buds are like, oh my gosh, what, salty or sweet? I don't know. I want both. And like you just, and the fat, you add the fat in. So the three things go together. And so it's not, it's not dessert that's a problem. It's not snacks that's the problem. It's just like the way, yeah.
Yeah.
The way kind of processed foods in particular set us up to fail, sort of.
Yeah. Sucks. But I guess if there's a if there's an upside to that, I feel like we're at a good place in our knowledge of that. Whereas like 10 years ago, I don't think there was as much awareness.
Right. No,
so,
I agree.
Yeah. So, yeah.
So we'll end on a little, we'll end there's on a higher tip. Note than me going, it's the worst.
Okay, well, we love to hear from you guys and how you handle sweets and snacks in your house. You can email us hello@themomhour.com or just hit us up anywhere you find us on social media. And as soon as we're done here, you will hear me and my 10-year-old, my new 10-year-old, Allegra, talking about snacks and sweets in our house and other stuff.
Fun.
We'll talk to you guys soon. Okay, guys, it's Sarah, and I'm back here with my daughter, Allegra. Hi, Allegra.
Hi.
So, Allegra, Megan and I talked about snacks and desserts in this episode, and so I thought you might be able to give the kid perspective on how this works in our house. So I have a few questions for you. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay. So if one of your friends asked you, or if somebody else asked you, what are the rules about snacks in your house, how would you explain that to them? What do you think the rules are in our house?
Well, you can have one bread bread food group per meal. And then you can have unlimited fruits and vegetables, and
that's pretty much it. I kind of forgot about the bread food group. That's usually what I tell you guys when, so that you're not saying for my snack I'd like crackers and chips and toast and a bagel. So then I usually say just pick one from the bread food group. Yeah. Okay. So what snacks do you wish I bought that I don't buy?
Potato chips. Doritos and fruit snacks.
Yeah. Actually, we talked about in the episode how I don't buy fruit snacks. Those are kind of a treat. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So do you think Dad and I are more strict about snacks and dessert than most of your friends' parents?
Yeah.
You do?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Is there any way in which we're less strict? Like any way that we're more laid back?
No.
Great. Okay. So if you could eat as much desserts and sweets as you wanted without limits, what do you think that would be like? Like, what? How much would you really eat in a single day? Would you
all of it?
All of it?
Yeah.
Would you like make yourself sick? Do you think there'd be a point at which you'd say, "I cannot eat another Sour Patch Kid"?
Possibly.
But it would take a lot.
It would take a while.
And what kind of sweets would you totally binge on first?
Sour fruity.
Yeah, she's like snacks. She's like a Sour Patch Kid type. I'm a
maybe
chocolate
some chocolate caramel, but mostly sour fruity.
Okay. Okay. So a lot of our listeners have really little babies and toddlers. So what would you say to those moms who think that they're never going to let their kids have fruit snacks and Sour Patch Kids and all that?
They're not going to be able to keep the promise to themselves.
They're going to break down at some point. I told the story about your first lollipop. Do you know when it was?
No.
You had a flu shot.
Oh.
So it was a good use of a lollipop.
Good use of a lollipop.
Okay. Well, Allegra, tomorrow you have a big day. What's tomorrow?
My birthday.
Allegra's turning 10 tomorrow. So everybody wishes you happy birthday. By the time this comes out, you'll already be 10. Maybe like a foot taller. All right. Thanks for being on the show.
You're welcome.
Sarah, I have been having just the best time making my new podcast, The Teas Made. I launched back in November, and so far I've covered topics like staying warm on cold winter walks, nurturing creativity, how to be a great host, and even Nordic secrets to loving winter.
Well, you know I am fan number one of The Teas Made. It's got such a cozy vibe, and it seems like you've really hit your stride in covering topics like wellness, self-care, comforting rituals and routines, and home and family life.
Just look for The Teas Made with Megan Francis wherever you get your podcasts or head to theteasmade.com to find all the episodes.
The Mom Hour is brought to you by partners like Chatbooks. Chatbooks makes it beyond easy to create beautiful photo books by importing your digital photos from anywhere. Instagram, Facebook, Google Photos, or directly from your phone. The books come in a variety of sizes with beautiful cover options and binding styles to choose from, and they start at just $15. Plus, we have a great deal just for our listeners. Use code THEMOMHOUR20 to save 20% off your purchase. Just download the Chatbooks app and use code THEMOMHOUR20 to save 20%.